Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Nate Pickowitz with biblical help for spiritual depression.
I think going to the Psalms is oftentimes, that's where I go.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the Psalms, because those are God's inspired, inerrant words, but they're also, those are heart cries, a very raw emotion. And I know that I've walked with people through deep sickness and death, and really people, when they're hurting, they cling to the Psalms.
Nate Pickowitz, next. In the new book, Overcoming the Darkness, Biblical Help for Spiritual Depression, New Hampshire pastor Nate Pickowitz shares biblical wisdom and personal insight into the painful reality of this affliction. But he also describes the comfort he found through Jesus and the Scriptures. Nate, what is spiritual depression?
Yeah, it's a difficult term. I think there's a lot of definitions. I know the one that I use in the book is that it's a prolonged and pervasive, either a numbing or a muting or even a suppressing or a restraining of the joy of the Lord. This is very different than just having a bad day or even just a normal, natural response to something negative. I mean, we go through emotions all the time as people, but I think when a person, and I'm writing this book specifically to Christian believers, mm-hmm. but when believers get to a place where this becomes a season or a normal place that they're sort of living, where it's just persistent sadness, persistent downtroddenness, I think that's when you start to enter into this period of spiritual depression. So trying to just reach a person who's struggling at the bottom of the pit, so to speak, and just to try to offer them some help to be able to come out of this and to experience joy again.
And of course, what gives your book, I think, particular credibility is you're not just talking in a theoretical sense, which could still have a lot of help, but rather this is your own story.
Yeah, I've struggled with this for most of my life. I have memories of even when I was a young kid going to the nurse's office and having to lay down and eat crackers and rest and do deep breathing. And I was just such an anxious kid. I was a fearful kid. And it sort of followed me into my adulthood, where I struggled with melancholy and, bouts of depression. So this is very real to me. It's just not hypothetical. It's something I've wrestled with. But the reason why I would write a book like this would be, I want to be able to help other people with the help that I've received from the Lord. And I've been counseled by the Lord through His Word. And I just want to be a useful resource to other people to help them in the same place. So yeah, I'm not offering things that I haven't personally seen and experienced from the Lord through the bits of the time of this experience. So I'm hoping it's helpful for people.
Well, you believe, and of course we'll talk in quite a bit of detail shortly, but much of the problem of spiritual depression in your case, but in general, is somehow connected to your spiritual health and maturity.
Yeah, I know, again, for me, that was a big part of it. And I think what's challenging about this, and I think why so many people struggle, is because the causes of this kind of thing are oftentimes hard to nail down. And I talk about it in the book. There could be, several different causes or just a compilation of causes, some of which, maybe are not your fault. And when something calamitous happens, when your house burns down or, you get a sickness, that's not necessarily your fault. But those things can bring about, times of depression, and even sometimes our responses to those situations can bring those about. But I think trying to do the hard work of figuring, okay, what is this? And again, for me, I later was able to determine that I did have some health concerns. I did have some dietary issues that were contributing to it. But I think for me, the most part, I was really responding to some of those challenges in ways that weren't helpful. And even to this day, I know that when I'm not in the right place with the Lord, I can find myself at the bottom of the pit. And so I think, examining yourself as the Bible says to do, and just recognizing that there could be a lot of things at play here, but just to try to think through those things, clearly and biblically, and just seek the Lord's help in dealing with this problem.
One thing I've heard, one particular pastor told me, he always likes to ask people right at the top is, how are you sleeping? That sometimes a lack of sleep right away gets kind of cuts to the chase.
That's right. And again, I think, you know, so many Christian books, and I don't want to be ungracious about this, but I think it's a very common view is that if you're a Christian and you're struggling with spiritual depression, it's because of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are times when it is involving sin, and I talk about that in the book, but I don't, just like with this pastor that you're referring to, I don't immediately say, oh, it's a sin problem. Because I think you do have to ask those questions. You know, has something happened in your life recently? Oh, yeah, you know, my sister died. Oh, well, gee whiz, I didn't, you know. Those kinds of things can bring about those situations. So I think, you know, we have to be, God builds us, He creates us as whole people. And I think we have to look at our whole life, our whole situation. You know, I'm not a doctor, so I can't give medical advice. But I think it's wise if you're not doing well to go to a trusted doctor and get checked out. Maybe there is something physically wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But if you determine that there's not something physically wrong, it's not a brain or a body issue, but it really is an issue of the mind, then I think the Bible has quite a bit to say about how do you minister truth to yourself and how do you receive the Lord's help because He's offering it to us. And so, again, there's no silver bullet. I think it's a matter of just trying to work through with encouragement, with strength in the Lord, and knowing that He does meet us in our darkest seasons. He's there with us.
Well, the book is Overcoming the Darkness, Biblical Help for Spiritual Depression. My guest is the author, Pastor Nate Pickowitz. He's a pastor in New Hampshire. And as you just mentioned, Nate, that this is not a psychological treatment manual. It doesn't replace medical or therapeutic care, where those are certainly necessary. And yet, at the same time, some might wonder, well, how does spiritual depression differ from clinical or psychological depression?
Yeah, and again, it is tricky because this is a huge debate right now. And I'll just be very honest, I was trepidatious even writing the book because the waters in some cases are very murky, and this is kind of an ongoing discussion. So I tried to just exercise wisdom and discernment and not wade into the territory that I'm not licensed or comfortable with, but really just say, okay, looking at the Bible, you know, when the Bible talks about, you know, things like anxiety, fear, depression, worry, you know, when the Bible treats those as spiritual things and provides spiritual answers, that's what I want to grab a hold of. So when Jesus says, you know, be anxious for nothing, okay, well, if I'm experiencing anxiety, well, then I got to deal with what the Lord has to say to me. So I think trying to just navigate, you know, how much of this is spiritual, and if there are things that we can be doing or even drawing closer to the Lord in a relationship, He can minister help to us. And I even think that, you know, those who are afflicted, when they're walking with the Lord, you can experience joy even though you're being afflicted. And even though you're suffering and in sorrow, you can still find joy in the Lord. So I think it's just an endeavor to try to find that in Him despite your circumstances.
I did want to ask you too, and you point this out in your book, and this is always a point of encouragement, I think, for people that are in the midst of this or will experience it or have, that is that many biblical figures and people in church history have encountered spiritual depression. Can you give us a little bit of a rundown?
Yeah, I was actually surprised at how many people I found in the Bible that struggle with this on some level. I mean, obviously you have people like David and Job, but even Moses. I mean, Moses at one point when he was dealing with difficult people, I mean, he had a nation full of people that were very challenging, drove him crazy. I mean, the Israelites drove him crazy. And there was a point in which he said, Lord, I'm tired of this. Just take my life. Start over again. So, I mean, that's a pretty desperate place to be in a season of spiritual depression over conflict with other people. But, you know, Jeremiah experienced this. You know, the Apostle Paul battled with this. We even see, you know, challenges like this even with our Lord. Certainly, He doesn't deal with spiritual depression in the same way that we experience it. But He was certainly afflicted. He was certainly troubled. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we see how He just is, you know, struggling to the point of, sweating drops of blood. So we do see this frequently in Scripture, and we also know from church history, many, many people, very godly, dear saints have struggled with this very issue. And so just because you're going through a bout of melancholy or even spiritual depression or anxiety, it doesn't mean you're not a Christian. It just means that you're struggling with an affliction that is common to man, and you just have to be able to know how to navigate through that and find your comfort in the Lord. Again, this book doesn't offer any kind of promises that you're just going to be magically healed, but hopefully this will minister some help to you And you'll be able to find some tools that will be useful. So that's the big goal.
And you do mention in your book a minister from England from the 20th century, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, actually wrote a book titled, I think, Spiritual Depression.
That's right. That's right. His book is wonderful. If your listeners haven't read that book, I would even say read that one first. I kind of got the term from him. I mean, he was coming from a perspective of being a doctor. He was in the Royal Academy of Medicine for a number of years. And so he understood, you know, the issues that we struggle with on a medical basis. But he said, there's something else. There's a spiritual darkness, a spiritual depression you can experience. And so his book is very helpful. His is a different format. I mean, he's just got addresses, you know, chapters mm-hmm. that are just basically themes. My book really tries to bring in a lot of scripture, but sort of give maybe a manual or some guide or some steps to sort of analyze and pull yourself kind of through this process. So slightly different approach, but certainly Lloyd-Jones's book is very helpful.
So what is the role of just kind of at the top here as we move into that step-by-step approach that you have of self-examination? You've said there's different reasons for it. Obviously, we live in a fallen world. There could have been a calamity that happened to us. We could have, somebody could have done something to us, or we might be living in a way that's inviting some of that. What about that, the role of self-examination?
Yeah, when looking through the scriptures and even just by, you know, experience and thinking through it, I tried to identify, you know, what are the key factors? You know, what are the main common things that we struggle with? You know, sometimes it is calamity. That's the case of Job. You know, I mean, when your children all die, mm-hmm. you know, when your house collapses and you lose your children and then you lose all your wealth and then you get sick with a debilitating illness, you know, that's just calamity. That's your whole world falling apart. And certainly that can bring about those feelings of spiritual depression. Sometimes it is opposition. Sometimes it's someone who hurts you or attacks you or transgresses against you. That's Moses. I mean, Moses had to deal with difficult people and it brought him to depression. Other times it's a long-standing affliction. That's Paul, his thorn in the flesh, where there's something wrong with you physically. Maybe there's a sickness you're battling. It could just be a season of sadness where you just cannot figure out why you can't find joy, melancholy. Sometimes it's fear of the future, fear, anxiety. And then there are times when it's sin. But I think trying to think through in your own life, and that's Psalm 139 when David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my," he says, "my anxious thoughts." So he entreats the Lord, "Lord, please help me, examine me and help me to understand." That's Psalm 42. "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" You know, asking yourself the questions and just not being content with, "I don't feel well." Rather say, "Why don't I feel this way? Why am I down?" And work with the Lord on this and seek him, read the scriptures and try to understand, is there, what's causing it? If there's something that has nothing to do with your spiritual condition, that's something else that's wrong, there's a way you could go about, you know, treating that. But I think if there are spiritual components to it, just spiritual disciplines, obediences, I think that's where we have to pay attention. So I try to just give a panorama of mm-hmm. all of that to say, again, I don't have a silver bullet here, but at least there's some observations I think we can make that might be helpful in sort of self-diagnosing where you are.
Well, you do offer a step-by-step approach of pulling out of spiritual depression that you call the wheel of spiritual health, and I think we're kind of getting to the crux of things. Can you take us through that?
Yeah, so in looking at scripture, again, just, you know, I spent, you know, quite a bit of time just journaling and drawing mm-hmm. connections from the Bible, and you know, we seem to see these frequent lists of cascading virtues or disciplines that kind of build. And so I started to notice that there seems to be a beginning point. And I think that's where a lot of people struggle, especially when you read a book about, you know, depression, is a lot of books will talk about the experience of it. Oh, you feel this way and you feel that way. And it's certainly true and it's validating. But what do you do? You know, what's my first step? If I'm in bed and I can't get out of bed and I can't move myself, what's my first step? Mm-hmm. And so trying to think through it biblically, you know, the disciplines of the regular life, I think, is really where you have to start, you know, motivating yourself just to do the next right thing, as Elizabeth Elliot used to say. And even if your heart doesn't want to, you know, maybe there isn't the obedience of faith yet, you know, maybe you're not motivated to do these things. But if you know, for example, say you haven't been to church in, you know, a month and you know you're struggling, getting yourself out the door, and you might think to yourself, "I don't want to do this." Well, yeah, but the discipline of it is, I got to go be with people. I have to go worship the Lord. Maybe it's cracking open your Bible. Maybe it's even saying a prayer. Maybe you haven't prayed in a while. So just doing the things, the very next thing that you know is the right thing to do, even if your heart isn't engaged yet. I think just the disciplines themselves, which again is an act of faith. I mean, we are taking a step of faith, trusting God that if I just commit myself to doing what he tells me to do, at least I'm making a step forward. And I think that's really where you have to begin. You can't look at the whole staircase. You got to just look at the next step. And I think when you do that, it becomes a lot more manageable. So that's where I begin is discipline.
Okay. And you emphasize, and there's so many different ways to go here, and I realize we can't talk about your whole book.
Of course.
The whole conversation, the book Overcoming the Darkness, Biblical Help for Spiritual Depression. But you emphasize the importance of focusing on godly behaviors and helping defeat spiritual depression. Can you run through some of those for us and what it looks like in the life of the everyday life of the Christian?
Yeah, I try to distinguish between the disciplines that we're supposed to be engaged in and the obedience of faith. I think about it this way. This is a helpful analogy. Discipline is just kind of moving your arms like puppetry, where obedience is when you engage the muscles. You know, for example, the Pharisees, they were disciplined, but they were not obedient. They did the right things, but it was not from the right heart. And so, you know, they were still in sin, even though they were disciplined people. So engaging in godly behaviors, ultimately, God doesn't want us to just do things without the heart attached. And so, but the disciplines have to lead to obedience. And so that's, again, that's an act of faith. But, you know, that could be something as simple as, like I said, going to church if you haven't been to church in a while, engaging in God's word, committing to prayer, repenting of sin. You know, if you haven't confessed sin to the Lord in a long time, well, it's very possible, Psalm 32, that's what's eating you alive. You know, that can be causing spiritual depression. So, you know, examining yourself and looking at what does the scripture clearly teach? What are the kinds of things? What do we put off and put on, like the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4? What are the things that we know that we need to be doing that are obediences? Understanding that God is not, our relationship with God eternally doesn't hinge on our obediences, but it's a way that we exercise the faith that we have received in Christ. And so as Christians, we're walking and living in a life that's obedient to him and is disciplined in godliness. And that's what scripture says, to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. So a lot of these are just normal Christian life kind of things, but I think it's very easy when you're stuck in a pit to just forget those things and remember that, you know, I still have to be a Christian even if I don't feel well. And I think you can be encouraged to know that you're in a good place. You just have to focus on the Lord.
Well, your book is subtitled Biblical Help for Spiritual Depression. And one of those godly behaviors, of course, that you cited is engaging with Scripture. What does that look like? Is it have a bit of a different aspect to it or approach when you're addressing spiritual depression?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, certainly we need to be people of the Word. A couple years ago, I wrote a book with Moody called How to Eat Your Bible. That might be a helpful book to just kind of crack the door open to learning how to study and read your Bible. Mm-hmm. So certainly, if you don't know how to do that, finding a teacher or finding a helpful book can get you in the door. But I know that a lot of people who are in that place when they're just at the, you know, as David says in Psalm 23, you know, in the valley of the shadow of death, they're at the bottom of the pit. I think going to the Psalms is oftentimes, that's where I go, going to the Psalms, because those are God's inspired, inerrant words, but they're also, those are heart cries, a very raw emotion. And I know that I've walked with people through deep sickness and death, and really people, when they're hurting, they cling to the Psalms. So I think going to those kinds of places, even just going into the Gospels and hearing what the Lord has to say directly. I mean, I think about Matthew 11 when Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." I mean, I'm thinking, that's me. I'm weary and heavy laden, you know? And he says, "Come to me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, take my teaching upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble at heart." So I think interacting with the Lord in his word, and then finding those places in Scripture that really do speak to your situation. And so in the book, I really try to focus in. I give some references, some guide points, some kind of key words to trigger some of these key concepts. And I give a lot of verses. There's even an index at the very end that deals with some key passages that can be helpful. But I think meditating on God's word and God's truth really does. It changes your mind. and your mind will affect your emotions and affect your will. So I think diving into God's word, I mean, without it, you will not pull out of this. You won't get better spiritually without God's word, but with God's word, it's powerful and it will help you.
And it goes very much to, I believe it's Romans 12:1-2, something to that effect,
right?
About being, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
That's right. That's right. I mean, that's how transformation is going to happen. So we can prove what is acceptable, the will of God. So, yeah, being transformed. Don't let your mind become conformed to not only the world, but even to your own flesh. We talk ourselves down. We listen to lies a lot, especially when you're in that pit. You know, you listen to things that aren't true, whether it's yourself or, you know, the enemy opposing you. But to not believe lies, but to believe truth. What does God have to say about me and about the situation? And I want to believe him because I know he's right. He's the one who made me. So I think those are great places to be. And again, I think God is able to help us in the midst of our despair, in the midst of depression, with his word.
So certainly, godly behaviors to focus on, as we've touched on here. There's much more to it in your book, but also avoiding ungodly behaviors, which can contribute, as you said, to spiritual depression. Again, the list is long, but are there some major ones you might point to?
Yeah, I think one of the key things that I think really hurts people quite a bit, and it's not even just the behaviors themselves, but I think a lack of gratitude, discontentment, you know, looking at other people and being, you know, upset that I don't have what they have, comparison. I think a lot of those behaviors, they really drive us down, especially if you're struggling a little bit. As soon as you say, oh, poor me, and you start to go into that spiral, you drive yourself down. So I think discontentment is a huge killer. And I think the antidote to that is thankfulness and really worship, praising the Lord for what he has done. So I think that's a key part of it. But I think, you know, the things that we engage in, the fleshly behaviors, what you look at will affect your moods and your feelings. What you put into your body will affect your moods and your feelings. Engaging in sinful behaviors. I mean, a lot of times if a person has unconfessed sin and they ignore that, it's like, you know, you're putting a piece of tape over the engine light in your car. All you're doing is just stuffing the problem. It's not going to go away. So I think dealing with whatever it is in your life that is sinful, that is damaging to you, putting off those behaviors, and not just putting them off, but replacing them with things that are godly, what is good, what is right, what is true. So those are some huge steps, I think, for people who are struggling in that way. And it will only help you, it won't hurt you. So engaging in what's right. Absolutely.
And I don't think we've touched on this yet, Nate. My guest is Pastor Nate Pickowitz, talking about his book, Overcoming the Darkness, Biblical Help for Spiritual Depression. But you do make quite a bit of it in your book, and certainly the scripture does, and that is the area, the realm of spiritual warfare, that as believers in Christ, we know that we're in the midst of this really cosmic struggle between darkness and light. We know that it's not an equal struggle because God is sovereign over everything, but what can you tell us about that, the spiritual warfare that every believer is involved with, and how we can engage with that conflict in terms of spiritual warfare, in terms of spiritual depression?
Absolutely. I mean, you think about Ephesians 6, I mean, the armor of God. I mean, we know that we are living in a world that is just combatant with sin and with wickedness and evil forces, for sure. But we can be encouraged. I mean, when we talk about putting on the armor of God, you know, truth and righteousness and faith and things like that, using the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Yeah, I mean, there are times in our life when we are just heavy laden with just opposition. I know that in my own house, you know, it's not uncommon. We kind of have this joke in my family. You know, things seem to be going wrong, and we're looking at each other, my wife and I, thinking, you know, what is going on? We just feel this oppression, this darkness. And then we look at each other and we say, is it Saturday night? It's Saturday night, and I got to preach tomorrow morning. And so 9 times out of 10, Saturday night, our family's attacked spiritually. Mm. And so we just have to acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't engage with Satan. I don't talk to him, but I do go to the Lord like Job does. And I just pray and I ask him for help. And I do the things I know I'm supposed to do spiritually with the Lord and just keep on moving. But it's a huge part of it. So if you're going through depression, don't discount that. I mean, that's a very real opposition, but know that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So we can be encouraged to know that God, like you said, God is sovereign and able to help us in our afflictions.
And you mentioned, of course, the book by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones on spiritual depression. Of course, your own book, Overcoming the Darkness. Would you take us to anything else that's been written in church history? I think you do make some of the Puritans in your book.
Yeah, I mean, the Puritans, they're soul doctors. I mean, they really are very helpful. Just off the top of my head, Richard Sibbes has a book called The Bruised Reed. There's another book called, I can't remember the title of it. I think it's by William Bridge, Hope for the Downcast or something in those realms. But a lot of these books are really just devotional, meditative. They're taking the reader into scripture. You know, they are older books, so you do have to kind of have a cup of coffee next to you when you read some of them. But, you know, there's some publishers out there with great reprints of these books that are very helpful. But, you know, the best books on this issue are books that help you analyze where you are, understand where you are, and then bring you to the Word of God. And I think that's really where we have to go. I mean, in the end, Jesus Christ himself, he is the cure for spiritual depression. He is able to help us and save us. And if we're in Christ, we have been redeemed. We have a great hope that even though we struggle in this life, we are saved. We belong to him because of his sacrifice on the cross. So I think not forgetting that, remembering that we do have a present hope and a present joy, and he will never leave us or forsake us. And that, I think that's a tremendous help and a ministry to your own soul to know that, yeah, it's hard right now, but God is the one who conquers, and I have victory in Christ because of who he is.
Well, Pastor Nate Pickowitz, my guest today on His People. He pastors Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton, Ironworks, New Hampshire. And we've been talking about his book, Overcoming the Darkness, Biblical Help for Spiritual Depression. And it seems like the model of spiritual warfare, and you've also said there is no silver bullet, so to speak, but it's part of the Christian life. This is an ongoing issue, an ongoing battle that's really never finally resolved until we come into the Lord's presence, right?
Yeah, and again, a lot of people struggle with this, and I think another reason to write a book like this is to be able to let people know there's sort of this stigma, again, that Christians, you know, they feel ashamed if they're experiencing these things, and sometimes they are wrongly shamed for going through it. But really just to step in and say, no, this is a real thing. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily not a Christian, but you do have to recognize that you're in affliction, you're struggling, and you do have to press into the Lord and trust him. Even if it's something that's out of your control, entrust the Lord with your heart and with your life. You know, he's able to minister to you. And for some people, they might not be rid of this in this life. But the hope is that, yes, someday we will be rid of this. When we're in glory with Christ, we will not have any of these problems anymore. So to fix our eyes, as Colossians says, above and not on things of the earth, keep your eyes up, keep your eyes focused on Christ, and he's able to help you.
I don't think I asked you this exactly, Nate, but this seems like an important aspect as well. That is that this issue of spiritual depression or really any kind of affliction that the Christian may run into is actually the Lord can use to push people to him.
Yeah, I have a section in the book where I talk about that, and I don't think anybody really wants to think about that, but they really should. That's how I think about it as well, that even though things like anxiety, depression, you know, fear, all those things, mm-hmm. worry, are terrible things, and God doesn't want us to do them, but there are times, I mean, even Paul, when he says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me to keep me humble, to keep me from exalting myself, so even though God is sovereign, he's so amazing, God is sovereign even over your spiritual depression, where he can actually use this to chasten you and to draw you closer to him. Who knows where you'd be if you didn't have this thorn in the flesh? So I think remembering that even in the affliction, God is still growing you, and God is still creating or he's motivating you toward Christ's likeness, sanctifying you. And don't overlook that. Don't overlook the sanctifying power of affliction. Again, I don't like the feeling of that, but I do know, as James 1 says, I can rejoice. I can actually have joy because my faith is being tested and it's going to produce endurance. So I think remembering that God is in control. He's sovereign even over my depression, and I can find great comfort in that.
Well, Nate, last thoughts of encouragement for those listening regarding this subject.
Yeah, I think if you're a listener here and you're struggling in this area, I think just to be encouraged that, number one, you're not alone. More than 75 million Americans struggle with this on some level, and quite a few of them are believers who struggle. So this is not an affliction that is isolated, that only, you know, one or two people struggle with. This is a big thing. But I also think, too, to encourage them that the help that we need comes from the Lord. Even if there are things that are physically going on where you have to go to the doctor, remembering that God, if God is the one who redeemed you, God is the one who could help you. So be encouraged. You can find help from the Lord, and just don't give up with him until you are able to pull through that, and don't let up. So again, I just want to encourage people and just love them. I love people, and my heart is for them to be better through this whole thing.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, New Hampshire Pastor Nate Pickowitz, author of Overcoming the Darkness, Biblical Help for Spiritual Depression. On tomorrow's program, it's Angela Hunt on The Good Seed Collective.
A good seed book is one that kids enjoy reading and that has messages that are going to uplift and not fill their heads with things that are contrary to Scripture.
That's tomorrow at the same time right here on His People. Thanks for listening.